Welcome back to the Spodcasters, joined by Tom Keegan, the Journal World Sports Editor, DJ Wetter, on the ones and twos over there. Gary Bedore, is that you?
Yes.
And Kevin Romer.
An emphatic yes from Jeeves.
Well, a couple days ago, we clearly didn't think that this kid was going to come to Kansas. And
He was ready to announce for Baylor. He said that. His two coaches said that. He was ready to announce for Baylor. Delayed, thankfully, for KU. Sorry for Baylor. That was a tough hit for Scott Drew. Really impressed the kid, obviously, for him to be that close to announcing for Baylor. But in the end, he wanted to play with the best competition he could play with every day in practice. And, man, this is going to be as exciting a team to watch as any basketball team on the planet. Don't give me the NBA, all right? Don't give me over in Europe because we don't see those games, so we don't know how exciting they are. This is going to be the most exciting team on the planet to watch. Get your tickets now.
Hey, way to put no pressure on them either.
I think they could be the best team talent-wise in the nation next year, too, when you look at the collection of talent that's on the floor. Now, it's still very young, so I don't know exactly what we expect from those guys. But certainly from the Darrell Arthur point of view, Keegan, I think you're right. He just wanted to go to the best basketball place. And if you're a basketball player with a basketball future, you don't go to LSU normally, unless you're Shaquille and a couple other guys that have slid through the cracks. You sure don't go to Baylor. Those guys don't go to the NBA. You go to Kansas, and I think that's just kind of what it came down to. I think Bill just said, look, you know, we pump people into the NBA. That is your goal. If you come here, your grandmother and your mother will see you on TV 100 more times than they'll see you play at Baylor, because Baylor will be on TV maybe once or twice
when
it plays Kansas and then somebody else like Oklahoma or Texas, and that's going to be it for the Bears. And when it came down to it, great basketball players go to great basketball schools, and that's why Kansas got this player.
If he went to Baylor, he'd be an NBA player, though.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. But he would be an NBA player that nobody knows about. Do you remember the name Antoine Wright? No,
really.
Because he went at the time. Had he stuck around another year, you would, because he would have played in the NCAA tournament last year. But he didn't. He went to Texas A&M, was a great player there, was an NBA player, but you still don't know who the guy is. And
exactly.
He's in the NBA. None of us know where.
Well, I think this is an exciting decision also from the standpoint of how Darrell talked yesterday. He sounded more mature, and he obviously made the mature decision, because I think for us that covered it when, you know, Indiana was in the mix before everything went down with Coach Davis, that's two pretty good schools when you think about KU and Indiana tradition-wise. Then Texas comes into the midst. But when those schools fell out and it was Kansas, Baylor, and LSU, for guys who cover those schools, it's hard to believe that. Really? Is that a question, really? You're thinking about those three?
LSU, that was a good situation basketball-wise to step into. I mean, you're playing next to Glenn Big Baby Davis. You've got almost everybody else back from the national title team. They lost, from the Final Four team. They lost one other guy. Basketball-wise, yeah, but John Brady, never saw the kid play. Bill Self was in Houston watching him all day, and John Brady was not there. Bad move by John Brady.
Yeah, Self said that LSU was a good choice because it was a hot school, and he could take the role, like Tom said, of Tyler Thomas, 1 year out NBA, play next to Big Baby. And that was a strong selling point, but he went to LSU, and I'm sure he just discovered that LSU was like any other school. It had some faults, too. I mean, once you get to visit a school, they all have their flaws and stuff, and it was just an idea in his mind. He got down there, and I'm sure it was a terrible trip.
Well, let's be honest. If LSU doesn't hit a late three-pointer against Texas A&M in the second round, does anybody even talk about LSU today?
No.
The answer is no. Nobody knows any of those guys on that starting lineup. Big Baby is not a word in anybody's vernacular. We're not bringing that out anymore. Nobody knows anything about LSU.
And Slim Shady's at Texas A&M right now.
And maybe so. Bottom line is Kansas has lost in the first round of the NCAA tournament 2 years in a row. Everybody knows the name of Mario Chalmers. Everybody knows the name of Julian Wright. And everybody knows who Brandon Rush is. Those names are more out there than the LSU guys, and those guys went to the Final Four.
Right, although Glenn Big Baby Davis has been a big name for 2 years.
Excellent point.
The rest of the team, not really. Tyrus Thomas,
he was a late name. People are really using that term now to really give LSU an identity that they would not have had they not gotten to the Final Four. And Kansas is still getting that, even though it has stumbled 2 years in a row.
What happens if they stumble next year?
No. Everybody goes pro, and then we're really having a strange conversation.
You just said they were the greatest show on earth. Now you're sounding
that's
like
the
a
beauty
fan
of it.
Turned on them so quickly. I don't know.
No, I think it is the greatest show on earth. Used to be the Globetrotters. Now everybody can do the fancy things the Globetrotters do. And the other thing is, this element of suspense with the Globetrotters wasn't quite there because they always found a way to pull it out.
Tell me the Generals were not the team of destiny?
The Washington Generals.
Are you telling me they were not your favorite team, Tom Keegan?
Now they play the EA Sports All-Stars. Is that who they play? I don't even know anymore.
Is that who they play?
I have no idea. I don't know. They put together a squad.
Greatest show on earth. And greatest venue, really. I've never been to Duke, but I'm told by people who've been to both, including Jay Billis, that Allen Fieldhouse is even better.
Well, and I just think watching these guys play in that building is going to be exciting. And the fact that he chooses Kansas means he thinks he's going to come here. He knows he's going to have to work, but there's not a guaranteed spot for him. It's not LSU. And the fact that he wants to put in that work and work on his game, I know he wants to get to the next level. That's the ultimate goal. But I think that says something about this kid that we weren't sure about. We'd heard, you know, sometimes he doesn't play at 100% because his competition isn't even close to
not
equal.
Not many high school kids do.
Yeah, I mean, we saw the highlights.
About Brandon Rush.
Yeah, if you haven't seen the highlights, go to, you know, KUSports.com and look at some of that video. It's just the things he does, I mean, he makes it look easy. But now we're going to find out when he's banging against some of the big guys and he has to go down, and I guess Texas comes here this year, when he has to play against a Texas or in Oklahoma, we'll find some things out. But it's going to be much better for him in the long run to play at KU with the guys he's going to play with in practice and then the competition he's going to see in the Big 12.
And in his press conference, he did say yesterday, and I know we should never put any stock in this, but he said, my grandmother and mother said it's my decision because it's where I'm going to be for the next 4 years of my life, that, okay? Yeah. He said 4 years. I don't think any of the people down there asked him questions if, is he really going for 4 years, that kind of deal, like we would have here and like we will ask him when he gets here in a couple of months. But right from the start, he did say, that's where I'm going to be spending the next 4 years of my life. Now, if things work out good for KU and him, he won't be here 4 years because you want him to be good enough to leave after two or three. However, he did say the magic four word. Nobody put that in his mouth.
Yeah, but wait. In my story, we had 1 or 2 years. In the magical world of recruiting, these guys say different stuff to different people. So we got 1 or 2 years from him and Mama. So
Gary Bedore, you're right. Good point. Now, probably 1 or 2 years. 2 years would probably be the best guess. Great depth of talent on this roster to the point where you could say make a case that Rod Stewart's the 12th man. Jeremy Case is the 11th man. Brady Morningstar's the 10th man. Darnell Jackson's the 9th man. And then you get into the eight-man rotation with C.J. Giles being 8 on down the road. But give me a starting 5, Gary Bedore. Give me one for the opening of the season, then give me one for the first game of the tournament.
Well, we should just read your column today. Everybody should read that. It was a great column, and it had every possible starting
company
lineup.
Man.
Get today's Journal World because it's a good souvenir copy, too, with about 17 stories on Arthur. But you got to go with the 3 returning freshmen, Rush, Wright, Chalmers. Then you go with either Collins or Robinson, probably Collins. And then you go with Sasha or Arthur. Slash Arthur. Probably Sasha to start the season and Arthur come in like Julian did.
Yeah, I would say that, you know, Collins probably won't start at the beginning, nor Arthur, but they both would have a shot to be there at the end of the year.
You never know. I mean,
if he does
it like he did it this year, that would be right. But let's just say he decides, you know what, I want to go for it right from day one, and he starts Sharon Collins and brings Russell Robinson off the bench. He starts Darrell Arthur.
Wait a minute,
Sasha
Khan wait a minute. We just had a season like this, and he didn't do that last year.
Right.
Why would he do it this year?
Because he doesn't want to get nagged.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
How do you
He's
bring
tired
the
of Gary
best
Bedore.
Defender
yeah.
in the Big 12 off the bench?
He's the glue
Russell
guy.
Robinson off the bench?
No chance.
I love Russell Robinson.
He'll start.
That's a bit of an overstatement.
He'll start in the tournament,
he's the best
too.
Defender in the Big 12.
Yeah, but when you start messing with lineups,
well,
the starting five will not change this year. It will be the same starting five that we saw at the end of last year with the 3 freshmen who will now be sophomores, and then Sasha, and then
okay, at
and
the beginning
Russell.
Of the year, very good chance. How about the end of the year?
I think it'll be the same five.
You really do.
Marvin Williams didn't crack the top five either.
If you go
he still
by
went
minutes.
Pro.
Minutes wise, do you change your opinion, Romery? I mean, the start because how much stock do you put in a starting lineup? I mean, it can change so quickly. But minutes wise, I don't know. I mean, when you need points like the end of a K-State game when you're losing at home, I think Russell comes out because he's not really going to knock down the 3. Then you have Sharon in there, and you know that guy's going to dribble and score. But I think starting lineup, the tournament is not going to look much different. But minutes wise and key situations, and that's what your kind of article spoke to.
Well, I think Darrell Arthur, I was just talking to Curtis Townsend. He said he takes over games and stretches, and when you hear that, you think, All right. Wouldn't you want him on the floor at the end of the game?
It's going to be easier for Arthur to crack that lineup than Collins, I think.
I just think the Robinson team together.
It's not that he scored. He just does all the little things that you want in a player. And if you don't have those players and you keep tinkering too much, you're going to – you don't know. You don't, you could be in a worse situation.
That's a good point. And, I mean, you very well could see Russell Robinson for the rest of his career be a starter. Why would that surprise anybody? And sometimes – when you're surrounded by McDonald's All-American, you need a glue guy, and it doesn't hurt to have that glue guy be a point guard.
I mean, Aaron Miles obviously never was a great scorer and a great shooter, but he started his first year, and he started all 4 years.
And he scored 5 points a game, the last 5 points of the game.
Yeah, but I mean, the point being here that, you know, you got to be more than just a great shooter and a scorer to get in there and run the show. And you think about the other three or four guys they're going to have in there, and you don't necessarily need another guy in there to shoot and score. You've got to have some other guys do some other things.
Yeah, and but let's say, you know, Russell needs a breather. Well, we'll great turn options. It over to Sherron Collins.
Pretty good option.
Or Mario Chalmers. I mean, anything, any combination you look at, they have answers for. Any team they play, I don't think you can easily look at the KU roster now and say, well, this type of team's going to give them trouble because they have a lot of size. Well, so does KU. Where they can play Sasha and CJ together. We saw that. Darnell, I mean, yeah, they can go big, they can go small, and whatever way they go, they're fast. They can, because their big men can run the floor. Sasha Khan, CJ Giles, Darnell Jackson. Those guys run the floor, and those are their slowest guys running the floor. I mean, this is the versatility and the depth of talent. And it's going to be a tough juggling act by Bill Self, I think.
When the polls come out, the preseason polls in another couple of months, I know we're a little bit ahead of ourselves here, but where will Kansas be? Can Kansas open the season at number one?
No, not when you have a defending national champion that returns all five starters.
I agree.
Think you have to put Florida number one.
And I think there'll be three.
Carolina.
Because don't forget that that's it. Carolina has a great, great recruiting class also, and you know, better than KU's, I think, in terms of depth and everything. And they got Tyler Hansbrough, who might be the best, one of the top three or four players in the country next year. Three for KU, I think.
I think you just angered all KU fans, Stuger.
I know. Sometimes I forget about the ultimate hatred of Carolina. They used to hate Duke. You know, now they don't hate Duke anymore. They got to hate Carolina because Roy's there. Roy, the big bad Roy. No reason to hate Roy, folks.
An endorsement for Roy Williams.
Reason to Bedore. Send Gary Bedore all the emails you'd like.
I'm guessing a few people feel
terrific coach,
Gary.
Terrific recruiter. Don't know the man personally.
How about
certainly not as friendly with the media as Bill Self.
But the knock, well, that's true too. The knock on Roy though was he recruited every other year. This is back to back years of amazing recruiting classes for Bill Self. So
five McDonald's All Americans. And Brandon Rush wasn't one of them. Micah Downs was.
Yeah.
He's no longer here. So you got four.
And wouldn't you have to say that three of those guys who really, you know, just pulled some magic? I mean, maybe not with Julian, but how quickly that came about without visiting the campus. And then obviously getting Rush, boom, 3 weeks before, you know, I mean, he had opportunities to go anywhere. And then obviously no one really thought it was Kansas the last couple of days.
Sherron Collins, he didn't, I mean, that was kind of a magical one too, wasn't it, Gary?
Yeah, my mind's going blank on Sherron now because all I'm thinking about is his baseball exploits. He hit a game-winning home run last night again for his baseball team.
Rich Price, are you out there?
A triple earlier in the game. The guy can play the game.
And he's a great football player, Mark Mangino. And maybe not quite the size for a Kansas football, but I wonder, does USA Today have an athlete of the year, a high school athlete of the year? Because
they just do it by sport.
That's too bad.
Football player of the year,
indicative
basketball player of the year.
Very few guys play all three sports, but Sherron Collins dominates all three sports. If USA Today had an athlete of the year, multi-sport athlete of the year, I bet it would be Sherron Collins.
Yeah. I mean, he's a great baseball player, great football player, and what is he, the number two point guard in the country or number one, depending on the services? So, tremendous. But can anybody remember? Was it an Illinois KU battle? I'm forgetting now.
Yeah.
Came down. But Bill's magic in Chicago is great 2 years in a row. Now they're going to be playing DePaul in Chicago, which can only help their recruiting get them, you know, keep their presence there.
I'm glad you brought that up, and that's obviously why they scheduled the game, to keep their presence there. I wonder if the Illini fan base, their level of hatred, is that too strong a word for Bill Self?
No, they hate him. Just okay, you know, like just like we were talking about Roy. It's the same deal, you know, that way.
Okay, will their level of hatred be such that they will fork over $25-$30 to buy a ticket to a game that their school is not in, and to buy a ticket solely to boo Bill Self?
No, I would doubt it. Chicago. I don't know if they care, but
I worked in Chicago for 5 years, and those Illini fans are every bit as rabid, shall we say, as the KU fans in terms of, you know, not only in their loves but in their hatreds. So that'll be interesting.
I think there'll be.
Hope I didn't give anyone an idea.
Yeah, that's a great point. I think there'll be a group of them. I don't know if there'll be thousands that would do that, but let's think if Roy Williams was playing at Kemper in that tournament they have in the preseason, there'd be 50 to 100, you know, fraternity guys or something.
Yeah,
you know,
even if KU wasn't in it.
Yeah, if KU wasn't in it and Carolina was coming here, don't you think a few would come to razz him?
Yeah, I think the situation, I think a lot would come to razz Roy, and I think, but Roy's situation was different. I think fewer people would have done it to Roy had he left the first time. I think people would have been more understanding, but since he said he was going to retire at Jayhawk and all the la 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 la, by the time they get through all that junk, and you know, you do it to me once, shame on me. You do it twice, shame on you, and that's, they're going straight there and getting on it for that. But I don't, you worked at Chicago, Keegan. I know, I'm not familiar with the Illini fan base in basketball. I guess I wasn't aware that they were quite that crazy.
Yeah, it's kind of similar to KU in that the football program has come and gone in Illinois, but the basketball program has always been the preferred one, and they're really nutty, and they feel like they own Chicago, like it's an insult if anybody else comes into Chicago and takes a player. And Bill Self, in consecutive years, takes Julian Wright and Sharon Collins. Wow.
But let's have another comparison also here, while we're still talking about Roy and Self, known as great recruiters, both of them.
Right.
Roy can never win the big game here. How much longer will Self get before, you know, I mean, this is about 4 or 5 years.
Will Kansas win it this year? And does Kansas have to win it this year? Because if it doesn't, this team is gone. Because how many of these guys are going to leave?
Oh, the pressure is going to be incredible. How many of these guys are going to leave? Well, let's take Brandon Rush, the obvious one, first.
Gone.
Okay. Next, Julian Wright.
Gone.
No. I think he's gone. I think that the pro scouts love him that much that probably two and done for Julian Wright. Next possibility would be Mario Chalmers and Darrell Arthur. I bet they both stay.
I think Mario stays. I think a lot of that has to do with his father.
And if Wright is borderline, I think he is the one who actually enjoys. I mean, right. He's came across like he really enjoys.
Sits in the front row in class, is what I hear.
And I think Coach will fish CJ out there, and no one will want him, so he'll come back.
Yeah.
If he has another season like the last one. I hope that's not the case, because I hope CJ becomes a fantastic player and is able to go pro. But judging from what we have seen from him, he has not shown that ability just yet, with the other guys passing him up, and which, with Darrell coming in, is going to mean less minutes for CJ and fewer minutes for NBA scouts
and
to watch him.
And Darnell Jackson as well.
And same deal.
And, you know, I hope that Sasha comes back, and by that, I mean comes back from his homeland when he's planning to go home this summer, and there's some, you know, he had talked earlier this year about the possibility of the military forcing him to do his military service and not allowing him to come back here. Gary Bedore, you had something on that today. You spoke to him about that. Give us that insight.
He wasn't worried about it. He was laughing during it. So I would assume behind the scenes they've got, you know, he's got to go home and renew his passport. And I said, why do you got to do it there? And he said, I just do. Asked him about the army, and he laughed. And
Cold War's over, right? Who are they fighting?
And he said that would be taken care of, and he'd be fine. But people, I guess, with knowledge of the army and stuff, have been all over the internet saying that he'll definitely not be back. He'll be kidnapped. He'll be thrown into some.
Here's an idea.
Maybe into the back of Gary Bedore's apartment, never to be seen again.
But he'll be back.
You have Self has to hire some bodyguards. Your partner, Kevin Romery, during football season on the broadcast.
Chip Buddy
would be one good one. Danny Manning would be another good one.
Bad knees, though.
Andy Sam. Just have those three guys accompany Sasha Khan to Russia and back to make sure he gets back.
Plus Andy.
I really don't speak the
Andy
language.
Andy speaks Russian. No.
Oh, yeah.
I thought you did.
I mean, I kind of dabble.
He claims to be Russian.
He might be
Maybe he just
Russian.
Meant he was in a hurry.
If you've got Andy there, it's a good chance he'll end up in jail and maybe divert some of the attention from Sasha Khan. So
this is true.
It may pay off.
It's a decoy.
Wichita
it's,
jail?
Well, you never know.
Wichita, Perestroika, I don't know.
All right, so you're back to where we were before we went off this road. Who will be coming back? All right, let's be positive about it and say, or realistic, and say that Julian and Brandon Rush are gone. And you're saying, what's the scenario then if they lose in the first round for the third year in a row?
Well, necessarily lose, but my thought is, if they're going to win it in the next 3 years, likely year for it to happen?
Next year. I think.
I agree.
When is it a disappointment? Because we agreed, although losing the first round, not what you wanted, given the Big 12 title, pretty successful season last year, given the youth.
Last year was the disappointment, the first one.
Yeah, I agree.
Bucknell.
What's the wall, though? How far do they have to get before you're like, they didn't win it, but that was a pretty fun run? I mean,
Elite Eight.
Elite Eight.
Not good enough?
Elite Eights don't get it around here. You got to get to the Final Four.
Yep.
And blame Nick and, I don't say blame, but Nick and Kirk set the standard here. They went to the Final Four two times. The Elite Eight, that next year when the Big Three juniors couldn't get you there, that was a blow. I mean, overtime to Georgia Tech when that team had been there two times and the road they had. I mean, that was three times worse that loss than the one just this last year to Bradley.
Right.
Because that team was expected to do something. And this team last year, while it was expected to pass the first round, was not expected to make a run to the Final Four.
You know, and Andy Sam, you said that Roy Williams can't win the big one. I disagree with that. How many times did he get his team?
That was his knock
four?
Here.
But yeah, that was a knock, but I think it's an unfair
Final
knock.
Fours are great, but this game
and
is all judged on championships.
It's taken three different teams to the Elite Eight, three different schools, which is amazing. But I tend to agree with you, Kevin, that because this is their best chance, then it would be disappointing if they got to the Elite Eight, as crazy as that sounds.
Keegan, but you know that if Roy hadn't won it the year after he left here, he would still be known as the one who couldn't win it. He'd be the best coach
to ever win.
Yeah,
he would be known as that, and I've always thought those were unfair. I grew up in Rochester, so obviously I was a Bills fan. Marv Levy is known as the guy who couldn't win it. Baloney. He gave Bills fans four Super Bowls with all that hype. To me, I don't know. I'm not saying the goal shouldn't be number one and the expectation shouldn't be, why should anybody else win it? This team has as much talent as anybody, but to say you can't win a big one, man, only one out of 318 wins it every year.
And, you know, the 1 year they missed, they hit 40% of their free throws in the title game. Is that Roy Williams' fault? Yes, he's the coach. You know, no, it's not his fault. They missed the free throws. It's the NCAA tournament.
Why couldn't they
miss
him against Marquette?
Because they would have still won by 25.
Exactly.
Even if they'd missed them all.
People are going to have to – they realize this deep down, but – it's the NCAA tournament. Anything can happen. Kansas probably is not going to win the national title next year,
yeah,
folks.
Yeah, right.
May not make the Final Four.
You saw it this year. How crazy it was this year. It was probably one of the craziest years ever.
You say that every year, though, it seems.
But I mean,
you know what I mean?
We agree.
It every year.
I mean, every single year, Jay Billis and these other guys, and you know, they got up there and you go, I think this is the most unpredictable year that I can remember. Like, do you remember 11 months ago you said the same thing? How do you forget that?
I love Billy, though. He's awesome.
I agree.
But
I don't mean
year,
to point him out, but
yeah.
I mean, you know, all those guys, it's the same thing.
Yep.
I can't remember. Ugh. Had a nickel
because you
for
can't
every
remember.
Time.
There's 63 games or 64 games that y'all, you know, you can't remember. The two you remember from not this past one, but the year before, were on consecutive. This is before I was here, because you sat down and for 4 hours you watched, first it was Syracuse lose to Vermont, and then you watched KU lose to Bucknell.
See,
and
I don't remember the Catamount game because we were prepping for the Bison game.
Right.
I remember the Bison game.
Well, this think about that, though. Basketball fans from across the country sit down and watch Vermont and Bucknell beat Syracuse and KU, a pair of teams that recently played for the title. Wild.
It happened.
Craziest thing ever.
So how about this now? Also, with the situation where you don't know who is going to leave and who is going to stay, and you don't know how many available scholarships you're going to have,
Okay. How
do you recruit for the next couple years? Because Cole Aldrich has already said he's coming, so that's the available scholarship.
Right.
You don't have any. How do you recruit knowing or not knowing if you're going to have 1, 2, 3, 0? Maybe all these guys get together, get to the Elite Eight, lose, and say, we're coming back and we're winning this thing next year. The pros can wait. We're all going to go there. We're all coming out next year. Now, hypothesis here. It's probably not going to happen. But you never know. Stranger things than this do happen.
Right.
How do you know who to recruit, how to recruit? And you can only make so many promises to McDonald's All-Americans with no for real, for sure scholarships available.
The way you do it, you zero in on two like they did this year, and then you assume that two guys will leave, and if they don't, you run off a couple guys.
Who do you want? But who do you run off now?
Now? Right now, you don't run anybody off now.
Well, if you have to next year, who do you try
to run
off?
Well, let's see how next year
goes.
Because
you're thinking about the guys at the end of the bench, and those are going to be guys like Brady Morningstar.
Jeremy Case
will be a senior. You can't really run off.
You talk to Jeremy and say, would you mind converting to Mormonism and going on a mission for 2 years? We could use your scholarship for a couple years and then come back.
Little known fact, Jeremy Case is Mormon. You heard it here. Tom Keegan had the news first.
And apparently
due
for a retreat.
No, wait. I see Gary taking some notes over there.
Holy mackerel.
That is Gary.
Please bells turn ringing. Your cell phones off.
Tom Keegan's a very, very popular man.
I asked
self
the exact same question yesterday. How do you recruit not knowing who's leaving? And he did not. He thought I was crazy. He said, we have scholarships available. We have scholarships available.
It's a madhouse. It's a madhouse.
Sometimes somebody, Keegan left his wallet, and it's a briefcase.
it's a George Costanza wallet,
it's
Seinfeld
the thickest
fan.
Thing I've ever seen.
Who wants a dollar?
Hey, see if he's got any hard candy.
A dollar.
He's got some
hard candy. That's the problem. He left his wallet, and we only each get $2.
What's
that's
All-Stars?
The weak part. Oh, Keegan's got the preferred card in there for
the
all the
slots players. Are so worn out, he's just got one in use now. There's like 80 cards in it, and they all in one slot.
I know what I'm getting Keegan for his birthday.
Oh, wow.
A wallet made after 1981, because that one was old.
Sitting in Keegan's chair now. He gets a nice chair.
And does he?
He's getting paid more than we are.
Oh, funny.
Well, there's a big signing for KU basketball fans, obviously, but KU football fans got a little bit of a surprise today, too.
Kind of
fan
a neat
favorite
deal.
Coming back.
One of got to be the most beloved Jayhawk in the last, what?
10 years?
15 years?
Yeah,
I mean, unbelievable. People love this guy. We loved him. He was always fun to talk to. But Bill Whittemore, obviously, coming back.
Actually, I think he's coming in right now. Is this
Bill
Whittemore?
No, often confused but never imitated. Ryan Wood. Who we often call Bill.
No, him.
Billy Heisman.
I'm not quite the football player Bill Whittemore was.
Woody Heisman.
I often call him something else, but I won't repeat that.
Please.
But, yeah, a guy that for the last couple years we always knew he was going to get into coaching, tried the pro football deal, played the Arena League, didn't really get any time in Nashville with the Cats, but
back to Brentwood.
He's on the high school website, actually. Got a picture there on the coaching staff at Brentwood High, and James Cito affectionately called him the Brentwood Bomber, and Ryan, the Brentwood Bomber, is back. Can the KU quarterbacks now get better because of him?
You know, I think so, and I think he's going to be the offensive graduate assistant, which means his primary duty will be the offensive scout team, which will be probably
his
the
primary
freshman.
Duty is getting Kerry Meyer
Todd
to Reesing. Become him.
Yeah, I'll tell you
Todd
what
Reesing and Tyler Lawrence, but I'll tell you this, though. I think he's going to be Kerry Meyer's personal tutor, too, and that's a perfect fit because they're similar quarterbacks, and that's only going to help Kerry.
I mean, what a boost for the freshman there, too.
Absolutely. You know, he's probably the most celebrated, most popular player of the Mangino era. Now he's going to be back and helping create another Bill Whittemore and Kerry Meyer, maybe. So I think it's a great move. I think it's a great move, and it's great for everybody involved.
And obviously he talked for a long time that he wanted to get into coaching, and, you know, you have to start out like this, no matter how good you are.
Well, he's already started out. He's at his Brentwood High. He's an assistant coach there.
He was at Louisiana Monroe as a graduate assistant this spring, too, under Charlie Weatherby, who's Jonas Weatherby's father.
Used to be at what, Naval Academy?
Another KU quarterback. So, yeah, he used to be at Navy, and now he's at ULM. And Whittemore went down there, but he's a defensive grad assistant because that's the only thing available. So now he got a job he wants now.
Hold up. How tall is Todd Reese?
It's about.
Well, could they just?
I think he's an inch or two shorter than Whittemore.
Could
was
they
even.
Just switch?
And he likes to run.
Moments, maybe.
Put Reesing on the back of the jersey.
Whittemore might have to be number 5 now instead of number 4. So we'll have to look out for that definitely. But another on the football front at the same time, you guys have all seen Christian Ballard play here at Free State High.
Yes,
a local guy is committed to KU. This guy is getting more offers than I have seen any local kid get in a long, long time. Three more schools, according to these scouting services, three more schools offered him scholarships today. Can you name the three?
Can I name the three schools? Let me guess.
They're not in the Big 12, well, but they are big-time schools.
USC.
They're not in – hang on. How about – got to be something semi-close. LSU.
Two Big 10 schools and an SEC school.
LSU?
No.
Is that the SEC school?
Alabama?
Georgia. State.
Georgia,
Georgia
really?
Bulldogs offered Christian Ballard today, along with Michigan and Michigan State.
Wow.
And that's added to the list of Kansas State, Missouri, Oklahoma State, Kansas, and Iowa have all offered him.
So is Christian still solid KU?
Well, he says he is, but he's got quotes in these and Rivals.com has been on him for a long time just because of his physical abilities, and you know, he was quoted in a Rivals.com article saying after a combine earlier this week, saying, "I hope I change some things and can get a couple of looks from some big-time schools."
Interesting.
It is interesting, but you want to know what his intentions are. Is this just for his own
just so we'll talk about him on this podcast?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's working, I guess.
You know what?
Is it for his own confidence, or is he really a soft verb? What's his deal here, you think, DJ?
We've all seen Christian play, and I think athletically he has got some insane raw talent.
Absolutely.
That has not quite come together yet. And I'm not knocking on the kid. I'm saying it's a little raw.
No, I can't teach 6'4", 240, exactly, or whatever he is.
4'7", 40, yeah.
And here is where I'm headed. I was at Free State track practice yesterday. This guy is on the 4x100 relay.
The 4x100, not the 4x4, the 100.
And how big is he?
6'4". He's got to be 260.
Yeah, what is he, 260? What?
On the 4x1. I mean, he's not running the anchor loop in Free State.
With the Murphy twins.
With the Murphy twins, too.
We're also getting some Division I interest, too. Yeah. So.
And these guys, they'll probably be pretty close to a state relay team.
Yeah,
I mean, the track team's not bad.
Ryan, for sure, but... You know, that guy's a freak of an athlete. That's been well established, and obviously he's got some work to do on the football field, though, and I think everyone in the, you know, Bob Lischer will admit that. Christian Bauer will admit that. He's still got a lot of improving to do to be a college-level tight end, but, man, you just can't ignore that speed he has for the size he brings. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with Christian Bauer. He's still a KU commitment, but he's getting a lot of love elsewhere, so we'll see if he's one of those that – starts getting curious about elsewhere, if he's you know, sold on KU, is always going
to
be.
Well, he plays both sides of the football in high school, and DJ can attest to this. He will definitely have to be on offense in college.
Yes.
Because he doesn't like to hit people. He's big, and he looks like the kind of guy that would just come up and smack you, but that's not the case.
No, the guy, watching him in the high school games, you just don't get the feeling that on that defensive ball he has the nose. Like, you compare him to any of the linebackers we saw play at KU, he doesn't want to get in on the play.
He doesn't want to kill someone like Nick Reed,
unless
maybe.
He absolutely has to. With his size, that's what you want. You want that mental edge, and you should really be seeing that develop by
blood.
Now. Yeah, you should see that. But on the offensive side, you get the guy to work on his hands a little bit. Boy,
he can
a little
be good.
Dangerous
he
as a tight
really,
end or something
really
like that.
Good.
And he's a good basketball player.
And he's a good basketball player. And he can block on the offensive side, just pure size-wise. He's a guy you don't mind having out there. You can teach that to him. But
absolutely.
He's not going to be a defensive star.
I think he's really got the potential to be a very good college football player. And obviously there's a lot of big-time schools that,
not
that,
the
that
only
feel
one,
the same way. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that.
Isn't there a couple other things going on, KU football players?
Absolutely. Last week? Not really. You know, I was talking, there's a, you know, recruiting is kind of the only thing going right now. And, of course, Bill Whittemore and his deal. And
didn't Jermall Ashley?
Well, Jermall Ashley, absolutely. He actually went to a rookie minicamp tryout with the Cleveland Browns and liked him well enough that they signed him. So
the same bookends in Cleveland as you had at the University of Kansas? Are you kidding
Ashley
me?
And Keith?
Although Charlton's moving back to linebacker, and he's actually having a banged up wrist problem right now. So I think his future with the Cleveland Browns is kind of hazy, though. He said he's still got an invitation to come back there once the wrist heals up and get going. So that's turning into the Cleveland Jayhawks up there. There's McMillan, Rito, Ashley, now Keith, and that's pretty soon it's going to be the whole team's going to be full.
Well,
all Kansas alums.
And Ryan, for Charlton Keith fans out there, there were a couple of weird radio reports at the time that, oh, he's back on a plane, he's back in town, no contract was signed. But, you know, I got a hold of the guy, and the guy said, no, everything's fine.
Yeah,
talk to coach up there. I've got a contract. And he said, don't worry about these camps because I want to see you play when we really have the tryouts going on and when it gets down to season time. Is that the feeling you get?
Yeah, that's exactly what he told me. He said that, I asked him straight up, did you get released? And he said, no, not at all. He goes, I just got held out of this rookie mini camp. These things are about 3 days in length. They'll have a couple of them before the real training camp in July or whatever. And he said, no, I just got held out of this one. They didn't want to take the risk because of I got a swollen wrist right now. There's no damage to it, so once it comes down and once I can, you know, pass a physical with it, and they want me back the next mini camp, which is in a couple weeks. So, you know, that's what the Charlton Keith camp's saying. You know, there was a report in the Akron Journal that he got released. I don't know if that was inaccurate or what Cleveland's saying or what. Yeah. But
and it made it to Kansas City radio too. I mean, we heard it here, so you know, it's interesting, but. At least from Keith camp, I guess.
We read the transactions every day in the sports page, and there's been no mention of Charlton Keith being released.
Well, that would come up.
There was mention of Jermaine Ashley being signed, though. So
And Keith being signed. That made the USA Today transaction report and you guys as well. Right. So, you know.
Yeah, if Keith was released officially, I would think it'd show up in the newspaper. So really interesting. There's a lot of KU players out there trying for NFL spots right now, and none of them have it guaranteed, but I think a lot of them have good chances of making them.
Says something about that group, though, doesn't it, that many are getting chances and just the fact that how far this program's really
Absolutely.
Come.
Absolutely. And it's just, I mean, the NFL drafts so much on athleticism and everything, and, you know, the defense overachieved this last year. Now all of them, you know, four of them now are getting a chance in the NFL, as along with Mark Simmons, a receiver. So, you know, they're just good football players. That's the bottom line.
Speaking of maybe I'll change the subject up real quick, of overachievement, how about Serena Settlemeyer today? Got awarded the Big 12 Player of the Year, and what a season she had.
I don't think any of us should be surprised by that.
No.
She only hit seven grand, six grand, well, how many?
Six.
Only six.
She up to seven? Did I miss another one?
No. Six.
All right.
She had 25 home runs, right?
I mean, she only had 21 home runs, you know, and what was the career record at
KU?
20-something. 23 or 24, I think.
Yeah.
I mean,
she's just been phenomenal.
And she's been spectacular on the mound, and I know there's a pitcher of the year, too, which obviously Kat Osterman was winner. But you take into account everything that Serena does, and you know,
some
for somebody that used to have
in the house.
Girl that had a plate in her wrist just, you know, a couple seasons ago, you wonder what she would have been able to do had she been healthy at KU from day one, didn't have to take a medical redshirt year and do all that stuff. It's scary to think of what she might have really been capable of in 3 or 4 years like this year.
And you said it. Think about this. She is a pitcher. That means she is in control the entire game. She's got that mental capacity to do that. And then she's going up there in half the games. The 1-0 win she gets was her one shot over the wall.
Exactly.
It's just I know pitching compared to baseball and softball a little different talking to the coaches here, but just to have the mental capacity to handle all that, really impressive.
She's the modern day Babe Ruth.
Pitchers get the win if they leave the game and they're ahead, but she really gets the win when she pitches then hits the game winning home run. That's a win.
She should be a category for that. Been in the zone all year. That's just one of those dream seasons for anyone who swings a bat, just to every time up, just feel really good about your chances of whacking one, hitting it hard.
Let's hope she stays in
that zone. I think Albert Pujols is in that same zone if you're talking about Major League Baseball. So what I'm saying is Serena Settlemeyer and Albert Pujols are one in the same.
And Andy Sanders
like
compared her to Babe Ruth. So you got the modern-day Albert Pujols.
She's Albert Ruth.
Yeah.
Just call her that for the rest of the day. But KU obviously gets going tomorrow in the Big 12 tournament against Baylor at 11 o'clock in the morning. When I say tomorrow, depending on when you're listening to this, that'd be at 11 o'clock on Thursday morning.
May 11th.
Why don't you just say Thursday then?
Thursday. Well, maybe you'll listen to this in a week and a half. We may not podcast for a while.
That's true.
These maybe nothing
archived
to talk about after the Darrell Arthur sign.
They can go back and listen to our very first podcast if they want to.
Maybe someone's listening to it after the KU basketball national championship saying, remember when those guys predicted it? Remember when Kevin Romery said they're going all the way?
Idiot!
I remember that. Right. Is that your prediction? You say they're going all the way, Kevin?
I don't know. I don't know.
All right, I think that's going to do it for another episode.
That's going to do it.
Lots to talk about.
Tom Keegan, Gary Bedour, DJ Wetter, Ryan Wood.
How many
Kevin
people are
Romery,
left?
There's nobody.
Andy
That's the
Sam,
whole newsroom.
We're all left. We're out here, and we cleaned out his wallet.
And I got it right with me.
Late what did you call me when you intro'd the show?
DJ. AJ?
I don't know.
LJ?
I'm still here, though.
All right. See you next time.